Somebody please tell me how you follow that. Good stuff, huh? It's always a wonderful this time of year to come together and to sing and to rehearse all of the songs and the words about our marvelous Lord Jesus Christ. It's really sad in my mind sometimes to think about all of the music that we sing at this time of year that relegates itself to this time of year, I guess by way of tradition, that we don't actually sing them all the time because the words of those songs are so rich, so wonderful for us to sing. They shouldn't just be left for Christmas time. Just to let the words of each of those songs really sink down upon us, the words really of the song that was just sung there, the One King Holding the Weight of the World, to ponder all of that and all of that has taken place according to God's plan is really overwhelming if we really think about it in our own minds. All of that should truly cause our hearts to shout in a doxology of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, shouldn't it? I mean, really, in our minds and in our voices, it ought to be just one singular voice of praise to God all the time because of all the wondrous things He's done. And I hope that you sense that same reality this very Christmas day. We are gathering here united in the truth of God concerning His Son. We are united together by the joy of salvation that all men might find in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so for many of us, as we come this morning, it is the gift of Christmas that we have on our mind, so often the focus of this time of year. In fact, in this time of year, many of us focus on the reality of giving, the reality of gift-giving, which in and of itself is a way of giving thanks, isn't it? It's a way of us to say to others and both to God Himself, thank you for all that you are doing. And I think it's right to do that. It is biblically right for us to do that. We're called in Scripture to be thankful always, to always thank God for what He has given us, because the Bible tells us to do that, and it is more blessed to give than to receive. So when we focus on gift-giving, it isn't without some meaning involved. But gift-giving has no real meaning if those gifts that we give, whatever they might be in our day and age, they truly mean nothing if they're not given out of an understanding of the reality and knowledge of the greatest gift ever given, Jesus Christ, right? Anything that we give really is just a mere temporal thing if we don't give it with an understanding of who Jesus Christ is. I don't think I need to really stand before us this morning and remind us of the real meaning of Christmas, that it is Christ Himself. We spoke about that last night. And so for many of us, when we think of Christmas, we rightly think of a time that God gave, a time when the Son of God, the came into humanity as a child, lived that perfect life. That's the real meaning of Christmas, and we should never lose that focus. But this Christmas morning, I'd like for us to think a little differently about Christmas than maybe we've thought about it in the past. I want us to think about the gift, but not so much so the gift of God to us, but rather the gift that you and I have, who have a relationship with God, you and I who know God by faith in Jesus Christ, I want us to think about the gift that we are commanded to give to God in light of the gift that God gave to us. I don't know if we've ever thought about Christmas in that way, because God has given us such an incomprehensible gift that it seems unfathomable to us to ever think that we could give something back to God. But there is a gift that is reasonable for us to give back to God. If you have your Bibles, I want to just take a moment and focus our attention in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, and I know you, when you think about Christmas passages, you wouldn't normally think, oh, I'm going to go to the book of Romans because there's so much about Christmas there in the Christmas story. But in reality, there is. And in Romans chapter 12, we get a look at this very reality. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in just the first two verses of Romans chapter 12 about the gift that we can give back to God. He says, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I believe this is an extremely important passage for us to look at on this particular morning and to think through, because it has everything to do with a gift. It's not God's gift to us, as we've already heard about, but rather it is the believer's gift to God in return for His gift to us. Now, I know we don't normally think of gift giving in that way. We think of gifts as something given to someone, and once the gift is given, the transaction is basically over. There is a gift given, there is probably thanks for the gift received, and yet that transaction is over at that time. We don't normally expect anything from the person in return when we give a gift. But the gift of God, beloved, the salvation that is in Jesus Christ, is so significant. It is so monumental. And it comes with certain implications for our lives, and one of those implications is us giving back to God. One of the realities of the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ is this principled truth in our lives of us giving back to God something in light of what He has given to us. God has given to us, and in light of our need for a Savior, and so we give back to God out of a heart of worship. Look at what Paul is saying. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. It's interesting that when you look into the original language of this text and you look at the word order that Paul used when he penned these very words by the Holy Spirit working through him, it could be stated in this way because of the thought of emphasis that Paul had. Therefore, I am earnestly and continually asking you, as the reasonable worship of you, and on the basis of His motivating mercy to you, to give back to God. Has a whole lot more import, doesn't it? Has a whole lot more emphasis when we think about it that way. Paul is saying that God's gift in our lives is so significant that it does not become some static reality in our life and just sit there in our own personal life self, and we pull it out anytime we need it, as if it's some kind of genie in our life that when life gets bad, we pull out this relationship with God in hopes that it will fix whatever trouble comes our way. No. According to the Apostle Paul, the gift of Christmas, Jesus Christ, and the salvation that we have in Him is to have such a profound impact in our lives that each and every day and within each and every relationship that we have in life, that if it doesn't affect those kinds of things, then the reality is we may in fact be deceiving ourselves as to whether we've ever received the gift at all. The reception of God's gift in our life and all that that says concerning our undeserved mercy upon our life, His mercy for us, ought to be such a motivation within us to give back to God the gift of an undiluted lifestyle of worship to Him. I'm earnestly and continually asking you, brethren, on the basis of the motivating mercy of God, to give back to God the body of you as a sacrificial life, holy, acceptable to God, as this reasonable worship. That's what he's saying. It's interesting here, the words give back. In the original language, the intent of this present your bodies, this give back, literally means to put yourself at someone's disposal. I'm urging you, brethren, because of the mercy of God in your life, to give back to God, to present yourselves at the disposal of God, at His disposal. You say, well, what is it that we put at His disposal? What is it in my life that I put at that disposal? Well, Paul says, your bodies. Your bodies. In other words, our very selves. That's what he means. Because of the grand mercy of God in our life through salvation in Jesus Christ, this gift of God on that glorious day when he was born in Bethlehem, coming to earth as the Savior of the world, because of that mercy that God showed to us and we have expressed faith in Christ, we are to give our very selves back to God. Who we are. That means that all of those dreams that you have about life, all of those things that you look out in the future and say, man, I'm really hoping for these things. Purely your dreams, they're no longer your dreams. They're now at God's disposal. Our life aspirations, all of those things that we aspire to in life, all of those plans that we have are not necessarily a wrong thing to have, but now they are at the disposal of God to use as He would desire to use them. Our giftedness. Whatever it may be, however God has wired us as a human and however He has raised us up by way of talents and giftedness, whatever they may be, it's not for us to decide how to use them anymore. Now it's at God's disposal. Our time, our schedules, our planning, no longer ours to control, no longer ours to dictate and to say where we're going to be, when we're going to be, all those kind of things. We plan our ways, God directs our steps. It's at His disposal. Think about your life and your possessions. Think about your reputations. Think about anything that we might hold near and dear to us. We are commanded here in the words of the Apostle Paul, motivated by the mercy of God with which He has shown us in Jesus Christ, we are to offer all of that back to God for His total use and His total removal if He sees necessary to remove it. That's all part of our gift to God. We're to offer our living selves. That's a huge thing, isn't it? And you know what? We can't just say, okay, God, I'll let go. I'll let God. It's yours, God. We can't just do that. Because the Apostle Paul says here in verse 1, we're to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice. A living and holy sacrifice. Doesn't it surprise you that the Apostle Paul here, writing to just new believers in Christ, maybe even some who have been a believer in Christ for a while, those who are truly humanly unholy by way of any transaction we can have, Paul is saying in that there is a standard to offer back to God a holy body. Scratch your head at that and say, well, wait a minute, Paul, how in the world can I do that? How can I offer to God myself in every way holy? Well, I think we get the answer from the Apostle Paul when we read verse 2. Because if we do these practices in our life, we are showing ourselves to be those who are offering ourselves as holy, living sacrifices to God. The Apostle Paul says in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." You see, I think we are well versed in our own minds. If we've been around the church at all, we know what holiness is. Holiness means separateness. That's the base root idea of holiness. God is holy. God is separate from anything that defiles. Nothing that defiles, nothing that is sinful, nothing that is inherently unrighteous in any kind of way is God tainted with. And so holy means to be separate. It means purity. It means to be undefiled by all that which is impure. And we know that anything that is not of God is impure. It is unholy. So the same principle that Paul is telling us to apply in our lives is a holy gift back to God. Put yourself then totally at the disposal of God for His use, being totally separated from all that is ungodly. That's what he's meaning. You say, well, how do I do that? How do I put myself at the disposal of God and separate it from everything that is ungodly? Well, we do that as Christians when we're not conformed to this world. When we're not conformed to this world. When we're not molded into its ways. You say, how do I do that? Well, we do that. We get molded and shaped by the world when we think like the world. We get molded and shaped by the world when we take on its ungodly ideologies as our own. When we buy off on the philosophies of men as if they're the philosophies of us. And we start to live by those kinds of philosophies over and against what is the Word of God. Apostle Paul says we're not to do that. We're to be transformed. The word transformed is an interesting word. It means metamorphosis. It's really the picture of that caterpillar that climbs up to the branch, spins that web, gets into that little cocoon, and after a while breaks it out and comes out an entirely different thing as a butterfly. That's what metamorphosis is. It's a complete change. And so we're not to be squeezed in, molded in, shaped in by the things and the thinking and anything that's ungodly that the world has to offer. We're to be a completely changed, a completely different person, one who's holy before God by, look at what he says, verse 2, the renewing of our mind. Renewing of your mind. It's a war for your mind, folks. It's a war for our mind. It's a war for our thinking. Our sin in our life, our practice in our life begins in our thinking. It begins in our mindset. It begins on our philosophy of life. Let me say it the easiest way I can. The only reasonable gift that we can give back to God is a gift of a life that is being completely transformed because it is continuously being saturated with the very words of God. When we are saturated with the very words of God, our thoughts become God's thoughts. Or I should say, God's thoughts become our thoughts. God's ways become our ways. And so when people see us, they then begin to see the very character of our Heavenly Father reflected in us. In other words, the very implication of God's gift at Christmas, Jesus Christ coming to earth, our embracing the gift of God for us through salvation in Christ alone, the very implications of that is that those whom He has chosen to save will embrace Christ by faith, but not simply so that they can continue to live ungodly and worldly lives. No, it's so that they can now apply His mind as the transforming power in their lives, as the return gift of deserved worship to God. Do you see? That's the only reasonable worship of what God has accomplished through His Son for all who believe. This is why Paul says this is the spiritual service of worship. This is your reasonable service back to God. To offer yourself at His disposal, completely separated from anything that is ungodly, by being renewed in your thinking through the very words that He has given you here. And when we do that, then we fully can understand what the will of God is, His good, acceptable, perfect will. You see, that's the full meaning of Christmas. It isn't simply that God gave. As wonderful and as miraculous as that is in our minds, and we think about it and we read about it and we tell our children about it as we ought, it's also the implications of that gift in our lives as a gift of worship back to God Himself. We ourselves, our body, our soul, our very mind for His use. And we begin to think as He thinks, and we begin to act like Jesus acted. And it's only then that we prove by tested application in our life what God's will is. So you see, that's the meaning of Christmas. God's gift to us, we talked about it last night. The gift of Jesus Christ, that in the words in the Godhead, Jesus Christ said, "I come. I come because nothing else will work." So God gives His gift to us so that we could begin to do what we were created to do. We begin to offer ourselves back to God in an unabandoned worship. That's our gift to Him. Unabandoned. Sacrificial worship. You see, we're all going to leave here in just a little bit, and we're going to go home, and we're going to spend time giving gifts to one another. And that is a special time. But folks, let's not forget what makes this day so special. Let's not forget why Christ's death, why His burial, why His resurrection needs to be remembered all throughout the year. Without Christ, we cannot truly worship God as we were created to worship God. Without Christ, we have no hope, because our sin has marred the design of God. And through Christ, it's made right again. And one day, we will perfectly worship Him in holy perfection. And oh, what a day of worship that will be, won't it? We will sing like Russ wants to sing. We'll worship God in perfect holiness. And so this morning, our thought has been so focused on Jesus Christ, as it ought to be. And yet at the same time, we need to offer to God what He has commanded us to offer Him through Christ. Continual, sacrificial, holy worship. An undefiled life, separated from the things of the world, being transformed by His Word every day. Let that be your gift to God today. Let that be the very celebration of your time together with your family. Let that be the worship of this day. And let us never forget what gift-giving is all about. Teach that to your children today when they're open in their present. Would you do that? Let's pray together. Father, what an awesome reality we've been reminded of this morning through the words of the songs, through this time of year, through the challenge of Your Word. And Lord, You have equipped each one here who know You. You have equipped us with Your Spirit to do exactly what we're commanded to do. And so I pray that each one would ponder on these things. I pray that we would take these truths to heart, that they wouldn't just be another Christmas message, another time to go through the ritual, but that this year would be different, that we would truly be affected by what we've heard, that we would be reminded of these things in our life, that each day, not just today, but every day, is a day for us to offer to you the gift of our worship, separated lives from any kind of worldliness, wholly acceptable to you, as we are being transformed by your great word. Lord, we know you esteem your word higher than even your name, and so we are grateful that in your word we find the truth about ourselves and about Jesus Christ and where life really is. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for each one here who has brought such a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to praise and to worship with one another. Lord, thank you for each one of these families, for their reminders in their own homes about Jesus Christ. Thank you for this body, how you've knit us together. What a joy it is to be together as a family. What better way to celebrate Christmas than to be together? You are our glorious King, and so we want to honor you through that. May you be worshipped today as you deserve. Because of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.